No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Sure ain't the Pillsbury fucking Doughboy. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse, and today we're back with another live, uncut, and mostly undrawn bonus episode of To Be or Not To Be. And if you're like, hey, you just had one of these. Well, yes, we did.
Yeah.
The thing is, December is a busy month.
Yeah, a lot of traveling, a lot of seeing people. So our weekends are going to be pretty much covered for the rest of the month. So this is basically our only time we could do this.
Yeah. So yeah. Here we are.
And also, I'm sorry if I sound sick. I have been. Sick. Yeah. I'm feeling good, but I still sound like shit. So I can't really do anything about that. I'm sorry. But I just want to say that. Okay, we're talking about the Ginger Dead Man today, Jesse. Are you surprised that I picked this?
No.
Really?
I didn't realize it was on Tubi. So it didn't like cross my like
God cool. Damn it.
It didn't cross my radar as a possibility, but I know you wanted to do something that's kind of seasonal.
Yeah, there's a very loose connection there.
The connection is that we like to make gingerbread men cookies
at
Christmas time. That's our connection.
It's that. I mean, that's a very seasonal
also,
type of cookie.
Also, we're covering, not this week. This week is going to be Halloween Kills, but next week we're going to be covering Jack Frost.
Yeah.
So I feel like it also ties into that.
That was unintentional, but they do pair well together.
Yes.
I will say. Jack Frost, though, I like that way more.
Yeah.
But not to say I don't like this one. I'm still kind of processing. We just watched this like 5 minutes ago. We just finished it. So.
Yeah.
Very fresh.
Which means we started it an hour and 15 minutes ago. It's a really short movie.
Yeah, it's an hour and 10 minutes. So you don't have a lot to analyze here.
It's just a little bit more of a commitment than Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was thinking about Thanksgiving whenever I picked this because like it feels very similar tonally where it just absolutely doesn't take itself seriously to the degree that Thanksgiving does. But they don't go full Thanksgiving. It's like an in-between that and Jack Frost.
Yeah, like if we had a scale.
Yeah, exactly. This would be in the middle.
Yeah.
And those two are like the other ends of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. They have like the whole Full Moon catalog on Tubi, I think. I don't know if it's the whole one, but like most of it's there. So, yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like a fun movie. We've owned part three for like almost a decade and we've never watched it.
Yeah, because I'm a purist and I want to watch it from the beginning.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
A rule that I have for no other franchise ever.
Yeah, I was gonna say on that same DVD
is Killjoy 3.
Yes, and we've watched that one time at least.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd revisit those two at some point. I don't know. They seem like they would be fun. Kind of in the same spirit as this.
Well, and we'd probably see Robin, what's your favorite? Robin Sidney?
Sydney Robin? Yep, Robin Sidney, yes.
Yeah, we'd probably see her because she's a Full Moon darling.
Yes, yeah, you were telling me. You were desperately searching for Christmas movie roles.
No.
What?
No.
What was it?
No, I was searching for Christmas movie roles for the...
For Robin, right?
No.
Oh, the other girl.
For the movie that we left on the TV for the pets while we record.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about this. I was like, holy shit, she's in Christmas movies. What do you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, like, Robin Sidney's not in Christmas movies, and she was not Winnie Cooper in The Wonder Years.
I'm just telling you, there's like an odd amount of crossover with horror movie actors and Christmas movies. We saw the girl from Terrifier that gets sawed from upside
down.
Dawn. Freddie Prinze
Jr.
How
can you ever forget her name after David Howard Thornton
I just think of the name
anointed
that he came
the
up with
scene it. Crack of Dawn.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. But you have those two and then you have Lacey Chabert, who was in the Black Christmas remake.
Sorry, she's 100% Mean Girls for me. And
I
she
know,
just
but
also happens to be in Black Christmas.
And like so many Christmas movies also.
Yeah.
That was her start of doing. She's like, you know, I kind of like this holiday.
She was like I like the Christmas aspect of this.
Yeah. Maybe not so much the killing part. They were really obsessed with eyes in that last movie I did.
I still don't know who Agnes is. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get on into this one then.
Okay.
So The Ginger Dead Man, this came out November 8th, 2005.
Okay.
Obviously, we watched this on Tubi because that's part of the show.
Yeah, we're not telling you where else you can watch it. Go watch it on Tubi. Mm-hmm. Show Tubi the love and respect they deserve.
Exactly.
You can handle a couple commercial breaks. It's fine.
There's like only two for us. Yeah. And they were mostly like one commercial.
Yeah, one was like a 5-second screen of like, here's this number for Medicare.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. You're like maybe spending an hour in 15 minutes instead of an hour.
I wouldn't even say it added 5 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. There
less than 5 minutes of ads. It's not like cable TV.
Yeah.
We love Tubi in this house. Yes. Go check out Tubi.
Yes. This was written by William Buller and Dominique Muir.
Okay.
Directed by Charles Band.
Okay.
The guy that created Full Moon, I believe. Music by Robert Ballinger.
Okay.
That's one thing I'll say about these Full Moon movies. I fucking hate their soundtracks.
Yeah, no, the music.
They try to be
every
whimsical.
Every time it played, I was like, this just feels off.
It's out of place.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. I can't stand it. But they make up for it because they have John Carl
Buechler.
Remember, we have this every single time that he's on. I say Buechler.
I say Buechler.
John Carl B.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the JCB.
Yeah, JCB. yeah, he's here. He does the special makeup effects. Yeah. And he does a good job, I think.
He always does.
Yeah, he does. But see, the whole thing with Full Moon and Charles Band is they're notorious for being super cheap.
Yeah.
So he probably didn't have a lot to work with. I mean, when they have to have a human and the gingerbread interacting in the same scene, that gingerbread looks terrible.
I have a lot of thoughts on the gingerbread.
Yeah, we all do. Okay, so this thing is starring Gary Busey as Millard Findlemeyer and the Ginger Dead Man.
Well, the Ginger Dead Man is Millard Findlemeyer.
Kind of like Chucky kind is like, Charles Lee Ray.
And basically. Kind of like Jack Frost is Jack Frost. he doesn't get a cool nickname. Thing,
yeah. That's a shame. It's weird seeing him. You know, I think that this is actually the only Gary Busey movie I've ever really seen. I know that he was like a big time. Well, I don't know if he was a big star. But he's like a name that people recognize from back in the day. It's a weird choice, but I think it works well because they all kind of lean into the absurdity.
Oh, he brings exactly the right energy to the role.
Yeah.
He does a good job with it.
I wonder if they wrote it with him in mind to play him.
I like to imagine he came up to Full Moon and he was like, hey, what if I was a cookie?
Hey, what if I was a gingerbread man? Charles Band, like, he's like, I have to make this. Like, I can't. Like, I'm terrified. Gary Busey seems like an intimidating man to be around.
I think he's got a really intense energy. I'm not sure if I'm confusing him with somebody else. So he became kind of a pop culture joke after he had an accident.
Brain damage.
Which is a really fucked up thing to joke around about.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I think it was like an accident or something. But he had like pretty severe brain damage. And people do kind of make fun of him. And I don't know if he's like...
Just don't do that. Don't be a dick like that.
I don't think that they're doing that with this.
No, I think this is just he's got an intense energy, which... Mm-hmm. He's not the only actor out there that has a really intense energy.
No, that's true. There's plenty of other people.
Yeah, so I think he brought the right kind of charisma to the role.
Yeah, it's authentic enough, but it's still like cheesy and over the top. Okay, next up we have Robin Sidney, who plays Sarah.
Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee, yes.
She's a baker.
Yeah. Ryan Locke plays Amos. Alexia Ellman.
I want to know if he's in the sequels and he starts baking with her and then that's how we get Famous Amos.
Oh, God. That would be weird.
Did I ever tell you about the time I did not know how to pronounce the name Amos?
No, how did you pronounce it?
Okay, you know the famous Amos cookies?
Yeah.
It never crossed my mind that they were called that because it's a cutesy rhyming scheme.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was Famous Amos.
Famous Amos.
Yeah.
How many times did you say that to people?
I didn't stop you? I said it exactly one time before my mom was like, okay. No.
I was hoping like many people heard you say Famous Amos.
But it was one of those that like I always just like said it silently in my head. And the one time I said it out loud, it was embarrassing.
There was like a whole Famous Amos cookie currency on my lunch table. This boy that would sit at our table, if you were on his good side that day, he would give you a cookie and he would like make it a well-known thing. Like, I like this guy today. He's getting the Famous Amos cookie. And then he would like slide it down the table at you. And it was like a whole thing. Everybody wanted him. We competed.
Did you ever get any?
Oh, yeah. I got plenty.
Okay.
I did. I was a good boy. I did pretty well. Okay, Alexia Elliman plays Lorna, and Jonathan Chase plays Brick.
Is it still him at the end?
Yeah, I think so. It looked like Buffy makeup, right? Like,
oh yeah, like vampire makeup.
Yeah, it looked exactly like that. They just kind of like filled his face out a little bit more, and then put like black makeup around his eyes and lips. That was it. And then
they were like, hey, chew on this green food dye. Yeah,
and by the way, why is he transforming? I don't get
it. He seemed taller.
Yeah, he did. He did.
So I was like, did they just bring in somebody new? Is that Gary Busey under prosthetics? Is that...
That was not Gary Busey.
What's its face under prosthetics?
I think it was him. I think it was the real dude, the real Brick.
Man.
I know, yeah. The whole ending is so fucking weird. This movie is just so strange, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. You seem super pumped to go check this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of terrified of what I may have started. I don't know where this is going to go from here. Okay. So I don't have a budget for this. I don't have a box office because this shit did not come out in theaters. And yeah, no gross. I do have an IMDb score, though. It is 3.4. It is very, very low.
Yeah.
But yeah. It is a bad movie, but like I feel like that's kind of the point. But, you know, if bad movies are like hard to like, you know, it has to be like this is like clearly something that you were saying is in your Q zone, as you put it.
Yeah, this is my Moon River Rock.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not in everybody's Q zone. You know what?
Yeah.
Like, not everybody can sing that. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm talking about singing when we're actually talking about watching a movie. But I get why it's not somebody's thing. All right, I did pull three movies.
Okay.
First one.
Okay.
Urban Legends, Bloody Mary.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, man, 2005 was a pretty good year for horror. I left off a lot of heavy hitters for this list.
I'd like to hear some of them when you get through this list.
Okay.
I want to hear what your idea of a heavy hitter is.
Okay. So this released July 19th, and it had a budget of $3.5 million. Do not have a gross on that either. That's a really high budget for this type of movie.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it probably went straight to DVD, because that's the third one.
Yeah, yeah. That's your favorite, right? That's not your favorite? No, I'm thinking of...
You're thinking of Boogeyman. You do this every time.
I do. Yeah, you're right.
And I
swear to God, I feel like we've watched this one together.
Like, and thematically, they're similar, except for a very important detail where one is supernatural and one isn't.
Is this one not a supernatural movie?
Urban Legend? I don't know if Bloody Mary is. That's the one that I'm not familiar with.
I thought it was. Maybe it's
We've
not.
Talked about it multiple times. I said, hey, we need to watch this. And you're like, we have. And I'm like, I swear we have it.
Okay.
Or if we have, then it's like a Stay Alive situation where we have no memory of having watched it.
We got to watch it then.
Yes.
It's on Tubi, I think.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. Maybe. Well, okay. No, I'm thinking of Boogeyman again. God. I don't know where this is.
It was on Hulu for a bit.
It was?
Yeah. I don't think it is anymore.
Okay. I remember the first two were, so maybe it's out there somewhere.
Yeah. The second one is like the film student thing.
Yeah. That one's really good.
It's called Final Cut.
Yeah. I like that one a lot. Okay. So that one has IMDb score of 4.1. So a whole point above Ginger Dead Man.
Oh, boy.
Next up, Wolf Creek.
Oh, wow.
That came out Christmas Day. Yeah. In 2005 with a budget of $1
million. Very Merry Christmas.
Yeah. It's a good Christmas movie.
You said $1
million? $1 million. Okay. $1 million for the budget. Worldwide gross of $30 million and a 6.4 on... Wait, no. Is that 6.4? 6.2 on IMDb.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good movie. It's a real good movie. And here's the final one I got. Another heavy hitter. The Descent. That came out on my birthday, August 4th in 2005.
Oh, wow.
Budget of $3.5 million, like Urban Legend, with a $57 million gross. 7.2 on IMDb.
Okay.
And some of the other ones would have been Devil's Rejects.
Okay.
House of Wax.
House of Wax.
Cry Wolf.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there was a lot of pretty good ones that came out that year. So,
Okay.
I got three taglines.
Oh, boy. I'm excited for
this. This is like a good one for, you know, doing taglines for because there's a lot of potential here. Okay, first off, out of the oven and into your heart. I don't get that. That sounds like it's like he's trying to get your love.
I know. I was going to say it's too adorable for this movie.
He's not adorable at all.
I want to watch the Lifetime version of this movie, though.
Yeah, you think that one would exist? Maybe that could be our Christmas movie.
I thought our Christmas movie was going to be Even Santa Needs a Santa.
We make two.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We can make as many as we want. They're like, they are debuting new movies like every single day out there on the channel.
That's
true. Hallmark channel.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, next up. Something's in the Oven.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
I know. Like they didn't. That one seems, excuse my pun, half baked.
Travis,
you proud of me?
I am.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that one. It feels like it cut off too soon. I feel like you could have a lot of fun with that. And this one, Evil Never Tasted So Good.
I like that one.
That shit looked like it tasted nasty when he eats them in this movie.
Well, yeah, because he, like, actually bleeds. I know. I'm not going to go into the physics of this cookie.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like Chucky, right? He kind of takes, he gets the human parts of him inside.
Yeah, once he's been in the doll for too long and he starts to bleed human blood. Yeah, and that's exactly. When he's like, I got to find a child.
Yeah, it's not unheard of. All right, that's it for the taglines.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get on into this movie then, Jesse. Tell me... what you thought of it.
Okay. So the good. Like you said, this movie is in my Q zone. The opening happened and I was like embarrassingly activated to watch the movie. I've been sleepy all day and then I was like.
Yeah, she perked up like immediately. I did.
It's dumb. It's just dumb and I love dumb movies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need a dumb movie.
Yeah, exactly.
The bad... I think it honestly like drags a little bit in the middle, which is really hard to say for a movie that is 70 minutes long.
Yeah, you're right.
It just gets a little bit like this is very much a first draft.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of feeling to
it. They rushed production on this. Like they got the script, they got the people attached. They're like, okay, we've got 2 days to shoot this. And they're like, okay, go. That's it.
Yeah. And I mean... Clearly, it's a formula that ended up working out for them because there's about 57 sequels.
And crossovers, so, I think.
Yeah. I think there's Ginger Dead Man versus the Evil Bong.
Yeah, the Evil Bong series. I've not seen a single one of those. They seem really, really bad.
I am just curious about that because is it an anthropomorphic bong?
I think so. It's got a face.
So how does it... move around like a ginger dead man? At least the kind like he's got legs.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. We'd have to watch it. I know Darcy's in a couple of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's the thing.
See the ugly. I mean, you know, a movie like this is never going to handle sensitive subjects well. ever. So I just it.
Yeah. Gary Busey's character, is that what you're talking about?
No, I just like any of it, really. Like, you know, the alcoholic mother is treated as an afterthought. The way Sarah is talked to at the beginning, I fully thought she was a child till she stood up, and then I was like, what the fuck?
She wasn't a child?
No.
I thought that was like a flashback.
No, that was 2 years prior.
Oh my God, I thought that she was a child this entire time.
No.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so like it's just, I don't know. And then like really honestly, the way Lorna and Sarah are in the middle of being under attack and arguing about a boy.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And this is why, like, the Bechdel test is, like, the lowest of a low bar to pass, because this movie technically passes the Bechdel test, and 50% of the dialogue between these two women is about a boy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, what's your absurd?
When he gets in Jimmy's fucking car and he's using rolling 50% pedal.
That's so stupid.
And then later when he's shooting and he's got the gun just like tucked under his arm.
Yeah.
He never pulls the trigger. everything with the ginger. With the gingerbread man, even his giant fucking cookie cutter.
Oh my God, that thing is so stupid.
Who is this cookie for?
Like, they only had, like, they were just gonna make one cookie.
That had to have been custom made.
Yeah, definitely. Nobody makes cookie cutters that big.
She didn't roll that dough out flat enough, so with how thick she cut it and how big it was just going to, like, melt into the whole pan.
Yeah.
Like, it. So, yeah. So all that said, I don't think it's the best bad movie I've ever watched, but it does make me want to watch the sequels to see if they find their footing a little bit more with it.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think movies, sometimes like if a movie is really, really good on its first outing, then it's a little bit nerve-wracking to see sequels.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, oh, well, we're just going to try and either up the ante or, you know, just redo like what was in the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas if it starts off kind of rough, it's like, okay, cool. We've got the concept down. We've figured out his sense of humor. We figured out the tone of this franchise. Now we can have some fun.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is how these types of movies go. So I'm going to give it a 5 just for the potential I see.
Okay. I thought you were going to go higher with how you've been gushing about this thing.
I wouldn't say I was gushing.
Oh, well, you were like so excited. Like you were, I don't know, I could see you were kind of giddy to talk about this and watch it. So. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, all right, you got a 5. I think that's about where I'm at, too.
Okay.
A 5. Okay. So the
5 skis.
Yeah. The good for this thing, I think it's just, like, it's fun. It's just very much in that same, like, you know, the Jack Frost category of movies, and kind of like what you were saying, like those are just kind of fun to watch whenever you're wanting something stupid. This is the type of movie that I feel like if you and I had, or either one of us had seen it before we first started talking to each other, remember how we started talking about Troll 2 and like all these other bad movies, like we would have brought this up.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's just it's not the, you're totally right. It's not the best bad movie that I've seen, but it is at least entertaining. And it's short. And bad movies like this, when they're short like this, that I'm never going to complain about that. I'm not ever going to be like, man, I feel like I needed a little bit more of that.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go ahead and take this moment, because I know we said that we were going to watch Thanksgiving 3 on Thanksgiving. We got about 10 minutes in before we said, fuck this, turned it off. And then just to make sure we weren't missing something, we did put it on the kill count for it.
I feel
to
so
be
bad
like,
for him. He had to
yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah. And he even said, like, Chelsea ditched him during the movie, too. Yeah. It's all puppets. And one of my favorite things about Thanksgiving is this terrible puppet interacting with people that don't react to it being a terrible puppet.
Those were the best moments of that movie, especially with him and the sheriff.
Yeah. So the fact that the sequel is all puppets kind of takes away a big part of the like visual humor of it all for me. Mm-hmm. So we didn't make it very far. I think we made it to the grandma puppet before we're like, all right, cool. We can do other things with our lives.
Yeah.
And then we confirmed that it doesn't get any better from there. So
very bad.
We will not be covering it.
No.
ever.
Nope. Speaking of bad, the bad for this movie. I think that this movie, it has way too much filler, I think. Like, the opening credits to this take, like, 5 minutes out of a movie that's 110 minutes. And then you also just have, like...
You just did it again.
Did I?
Yeah.
110 minutes?
Yeah.
No, that's right.
No, it's not.
Fuck, you're right. You're right. Shit. Man, my brain cannot, like, make that distinction.
Your brain wants an hour to be 100 minutes long.
I'm terrible.
You want the metric system for time.
Okay, an hour and 10 minutes. Okay, that's way too long for credits to be opening credits for a movie this short. And then there's just, like, all these, like, nothing shots of, like, that whole plot of the building next door that's, like, a competing bakery, I guess. Like, that's not even really, like, a big deal.
Okay, well, the owner's name is Jimmy Dean, and...
Is that Jimmy Dean?
Yeah, I think they were trying to be very cutesy with
it. Oh, shit, I didn't catch his name.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. That's kind of funny. Ugly, I think the camera work on this thing is... Like, they always did the fucking diagonal shot. I don't know what the actual technical name for that type of shot is, but it just kind of bothered me. I don't know. It's a very cheap looking movie.
Yeah.
Like this is like the infant days of video recording with the electronic cameras.
Yeah.
It's gonna look very rough. And my absurd moment is the part where he eats him in the end. Like that shit was so weird.
I think we were both a little bit shell shocked in that moment.
Because he
wrestled the cookie and we're like, okay, cool. And then he like actually eats him.
Yeah, and I thought he would just be a normal cookie, but I just see like guts and blood coming out, and this guy's not even like hesitating.
I wish it had been like they'd played into the bakery aspect of it a little bit more, and it'd been like a raspberry puree or something out or something like that.
That would have driven the budget up too much. I don't think that they could afford that. I give it a 5.
Okay.
All right. It's an okay movie.
Yeah.
Would you watch it? Oh, never mind. That's the answer. We ask that at the end of this.
Yes.
I'm all over the place. Okay, well.
It's a shame these are unedited episodes.
I know. I'm going to make a fool of myself in front of everybody.
Just face it, Travis. You're going to be embarrassed.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay.
So we open at Cadillac Jack's. This is Gary Busey is robbing this diner.
It's very like Pulp Fiction levels of violence towards this diner.
They don't give any explanation what this guy's doing. I don't like know if this is a robbery gone wrong or if he just decided to go on like a killing spree. He's just killing these people. He's just shooting them. This boy comes over and tries to talk him down. And he makes him say, put your gun down, please, like 10 fucking times, like a different time every single time.
Yeah. And it's kind of like vaguely mentioned, but his dad had already tried to stop him and was killed.
Yeah. So he puts the gun down and takes out a little tiny knife and then he stabs him instead.
Gary Busey brought a knife to a gunfight.
Oh my god, and he won.
Well, I mean, he brought both the weapons, so I don't think it's surprising that he won, but...
If you have a gun and a knife, you're probably going to do very well, no matter what.
He brought a gun and a knife to a fist fight.
Yeah. So that just leaves apparently not child...
Sarah.
Here, and then he has her stand up.
He calls her kitty, and it's really gross.
Yeah, this Gary Busey definitely gives off some very creepy vibes in this moment. He's like, having like an internal struggle because he made a promise to his mom that he would always finish what he started.
He's like, but I'm not going to kill you, but I have to do right by my mom. I feel like we're going to get a lot more mom in the sequels.
Yeah, maybe though. That's probably.
She was a key component of a lot of this.
And we get absolutely none of it in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just like some kind of weird driving
factor.
Other
than Millard is definitely a mama's boy.
Yeah. 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 So he shoots. We don't know if it hits her, and then he runs out. You hear the cop sirens.
I feel like it had to have hit her because when she's having her whole like post-traumatic like anxiety attack, fair, she would like, you know, not just talk about missing her family and struggling to keep the bakery open. And oh, also, by the way, I can't afford my medical bills.
Oh, yeah.
Where they had to dig the slug out of my shoulder and I had to do 10 weeks of therapy.
Yeah, she's overwhelmed in this movie.
Yeah. So then we cut to 2 years later at a shop that I did not learn until the end is not called Belly's Bakery.
That's not the name of it?
It's apparently Betty's Bakery.
Betty's? I thought that that was Belly.
Yeah. Well, her mom's name is Betty.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then when I saw the sign again later on, it's got the tiniest little crosses on the T's.
It looks like they couldn't afford a sign. They just bought like a giant chalkboard.
Like it legitimately looks like Belly's Baker. And I was like, well, food goes in your belly. That tracks.
There's a place here in town called Biscuit Belly.
Yeah, that's a chain. Is pretty it? Sure.
Okay. That makes me not want to eat there though, because I'm like, I don't want to get a fucking Biscuit Belly.
I mean, the cats are already pretty brutal to us about our bellies after we eat.
Yeah. They have Biscuit Bellies. You talking about Special Scout?
Okay. So we cut to the kitchen. I just want to say I love an industrial stand mixer.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of cool to watch after doing some baking over Thanksgiving.
That's what they do. They've got one of those at Outback, and that's how they make the sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
they make it in a giant stand mixer like that. Gallons of it at a time.
That's gotta be satisfying. this is like another, I feel like baking kind of makes this a Christmas-ish movie too. You know, because baking and Christmas movies go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
She's mourning her brother.
It's his birthday.
It's his birthday.
It's his 21st birthday. He wanted to go to the titty bar for his 21st birthday.
And she's like, hope they have strippers and Lone Star up there.
Like, see, this is like, this movie is meant to be set in Texas because they frequently, like, they'll mention things like Lone Star.
Yeah.
And shout out Joe Bob.
They have the very thick southern accents.
Yeah, but the accents don't match Texas. Like, Lorna sounds a lot more like Louisiana. Well,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's not accurate.
No.
They're just doing their best out there, man. No, people struggled to do good southern accents.
Yeah, people are like, all southern's the same.
Yeah, like region.
Kind of like all English accents the same. They all.
Who the fuck are we to talk about this, right?
Yeah, well, that's why I decided to get self-deprecating with it.
she's mourning her brother.
And then we hear some like voiceover flashbacks to right before Millard was sentenced due to her testimony. He said, I'll get you if it's the last thing I do. Very Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah. And it's very strange. She has like the newspaper clippings on the wall framed.
They're not on the wall, though. They're like on a box on a shelf.
I don't understand. I don't know. Either way, why would she want to keep that?
Because of exposition, Travis.
Okay, yeah. That's okay. If we're talking realistically, then yeah, it's exposition, but just thinking about it is so stupid.
But he has the death sentence. He's going to go to the electric chair because this is Texas. Mm-hmm. It's only been 2 years, and this is not in any way an implausible timeline down there.
No. Apparently he did get... And he's been cremated also.
Yes. Which I was not at all surprised because, there's a mystery delivery to the back door of the bakery, and it's a box of grandma's gingerbread seasoning. You know what gingerbread seasoning is?
Cinnamon.
Ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg.
Yeah.
I feel like you have all of those things already. Like, you don't need a pre-made mix. There are some things that it's helpful to have a pre-made mixture of spices for. not for gingerbread.
Yeah, it's simple, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they have like a special thing in there, you know?
Well, in this case, they have the ashes of Millard Findlemeyer.
That's true. This is
it's
why
not advertised on the box. This is why the FDA requires a thorough and complete ingredients list.
Yeah. This is why you don't buy the seasoning. You just make it yourself.
I don't buy anything where it says it's grandma's own, blah, 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 because that's some bullshit. There's no.
That's good marketing, though. Like, if
I don't trust it.
Anybody always thinks of their grandma's cooking or baking.
Ain't no grandma involved in that.
No, probably not.
So Brick is going to wrestle a palooza, which is a mouthful. And very much they're like, what is the non-copyrighted version of WrestleMania?
Yeah, it sounds like a wrestling music festival. Can you imagine?
So they're letting amateurs get in there for tag team damage and body slammage. It's time for the butcher baker, so you can meet your maker, or whatever it is.
Is he a wrestler?
He loves some rhymes. He wants to be.
Okay, I couldn't tell if he was like actually trying to be one there, too.
Here's the thing, though, is that wrestling, while it is physical, is also theatrical in that, you know, you have to, you know, rehearse and practice and understand how to do things in a way where you're not going to actually, like, potentially really hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So I feel like having that concept of like an amateur wrestler coming in is not good. Yeah. This kind of clearly it's like the WWE kind of wrestling.
Yeah, no, this is like, yeah, WrestleMania for right. Sure.
Yeah.
So Rick is, I wrote him down as Rick the entire time.
Yeah.
I was surprised whenever I was looking
literally
this up.
The only other time I've heard the name Brick as an anchorman.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, his name is Brick, and he cuts himself because he's, what is he doing? What is he cutting here?
I don't know. So, there are so many things wrong. So, first of all, he opens this box of seasoning, and it's just dust in a box. There's
yeah, it's ashes. That's all it is. This guy is so fucking dumb, dude.
And he dumps it into this giant canister. And then he mysteriously cuts himself and he goes, oh, I'm bleeding, and holds his hand over the canister.
Yeah, he bleeds into it. So I don't understand why his blood plays any importance to this.
I think something, something magic, something, something revival. I don't know.
The blood is in the ashes now.
Which is also mixed in with the legitimate
baking
supplies.
Yeah.
And then he goes and pours it into the industrial stand mixer, and they leave that shit kneading for a long time.
It looks so good, though.
Well, Sarah hears a scream. It's her friend Julie, who also works at the bakery. She's supposed to be decorating a cake, and she isn't. And she's like, Millard was electrocuted 2 days ago. How old is your newspaper? How would she not have been informed? I think usually in an instance like this, like, families of victims are kind of
notified.
Given. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the etiquette or the procedures for stuff like that.
But yeah, so. But
That, I guess it gives her closure. She's like, I don't have to worry about that guy anymore.
And then she's got to go. Well, and she's like, please decorate this cake. I'm very stressed out. And then Julie's sitting there holding a piping bag, staring off into the middle distance. And Sarah goes, hey, Julie, the cake? And Julie goes, oh, yeah, sorry.
the dialogue in this movie is really strange, right? Like, it feels I feel like they had, like, one take and they weren't very familiar with their lines a lot of the times.
Yeah. Well, okay, like this very next scene where Betty is out front. She is drinking straight from the bottle and she is shooting at the building across the street. I do want to give Betty credit here. She's got very good aim. She's just knocking that banner down and she's like, that'll teach them. And at first I'm like, all you're doing is knocking a banner down. But with how angry Jimmy is about it later, I guess it was actually effective.
It's just a banner for a store that's going to be
opening
built
in a year.
Yeah, like. And she's shooting it down. Like, it's so fucking weird. She's also drinking too.
Yeah. And then when Sarah comes out there and she's like, Mom, you can't do this. And Betty's just like, they're going to close us down. It's not right. She says the same thing like three times. So I think that really kind of goes towards your whole, they probably didn't have a ton of time to learn her lines. Yeah, she was just like looping through.
Yeah. Okay, so they get her inside and they put her down to a sleep. Not like kill her. No. No. Not like that. They put her to rest. Not eternally. They tuck her in. Okay. She's too drunk. She needs to go get some sleep.
Julie's supposed to be keeping an eye on her.
Yeah. We've also been getting little flashes of Brick practicing his routine as a wrestler. Your ass is toast. He's basically just, you know, rehearsing.
Yeah, and then Jimmy and his daughter Lorna come up, offer Sarah $50,000 for the bakery so they can knock it down. And she was just like, no, we're not taking that. And then he was like, my daughter won the prettiest face of Waco competition or whatever the fuck. I'm not dumbing it down. It was literally like something that dumb.
Yeah.
And so she goes back in, Sarah goes back in, and she makes the world's largest gingerbread cookie. God.
Okay, they have so much fucking dough, and then I just can't imagine somebody ever wanting to buy a cookie cutter this big. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't serve a purpose unless you're trying to do like the Guinness World Book record of biggest gingerbread cookie.
It makes me think, with how thick that dough is, it makes me think of when I was showing our older niece how to bake gingerbread cookies last Christmas, and she was too impatient for me to roll out the dough, and she just kept, like, cutting out these thick-ass cookies, and they were pretty doughy when they came out of the oven.
Yeah, it's okay. She did okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. They tasted okay. They're just a... not quite as crispy as I normally want my gingerbread men.
So Sarah is decorating the gingerbread man, giving him little eyes, little buttons on his chest, giving him a nice little smile. And she shoves him in the biggest fucking oven I've ever seen.
An oven that seems unsafe because she just walks into
it. Yeah, right. It's like a door. Like, okay.
It's like a walk-in freezer, but it's an oven.
This is like the spiritual sequel to Microwave Massacre. Like that giant microwave.
Yeah.
This is the giant oven version of that. Same manufacturers. I am confused by this oven, though, because they treat it like a room.
Yeah, like it's like it's a sauna or something.
Yeah, it's weird, but...
It's not how ovens have to be. At a minimum, it would have had to be 350 degrees to cook this cookie. Realistically, probably closer to 450 with how thick that fucking dough was. Sorry, I'm not going to get over it.
This movie really just, it asks you not to ask any questions and just or go ask along.
Every question and let the questions get more and more ridiculous.
Yeah, okay. I guess, you know, some people may enjoy that more.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I know you do. Okay.
So Lorna trespasses with a rat.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sarah retaliates by throwing a pie in her face.
It's like the wettest pie ever.
Yeah, it's like just straight up whipped cream and then like maybe some caramel.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It was weird. It starts a whole fight. They start wrestling in the like next to the oven. And
they hit like a power thing.
We're asking questions. We can't be doing that now. I don't know what this is, but apparently
but we get like a power. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Homage where the oven has a electricity. Yeah. And then we hear at this point, Amos comes in. Amos, you know, Amos, we've established him as a character.
Amos just, I don't know. What the fuck is this?
He comes in and he's like, Lorna, why are you taking so long? I thought you were just leaving a note. And Sarah goes, oh, is it actually a rat? And he goes, oh,
and then
Lorna's like, there's something in the oven. And then they realize that the oven is, like, smoking after this power surge. So Amos and Sarah go to open it up. And she goes, no, whatever's in there is going to kill us. Which is quite a leap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she wasn't wrong. But, like,
he had a face.
In all rationality, this is quite a leap. Yeah, but she's also had her head hit. She might be, hallucinating.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they got shocked. They could be experiencing a lot of trauma.
Yeah, so when they open this massive safety risk of an oven, the cookie runs out and they're like, wait, what? And he makes some remarks indicating that he knows Sarah, he's going to get Sarah and he's going to make her pay. And they're like, wait, what? And then Lorna decides that she's going to blame Sarah for all of this. And Sarah's like, it's not my fault that I bake cookies with blood and ashes mixed into them. How am I supposed to know?
Brick's fault.
And then Lorna's like, I know about this kind of stuff because I've done a Ouija board before.
Yeah, I know. This is like the most.
This is probably one of the funniest lines because she talks about how long the message was on the Ouija board. Yeah. And Amos goes, those things go one letter at a time. Yeah, like, he's like, there's no way you got all of that information from the Ouija board.
I just imagine that was their entire night. It was just watching that.
Can you imagine, like, doing a Ouija board and you contact somebody who's just, like, one of those people that doesn't know when to stop talking?
Oh, my God. That would be the worst.
Every time you try and take your fingers off the planchette, like, they're glued to it and you just keep moving around all night long.
That ghost would
suck. And you're like, okay, well, we gotta go now. And then just like,
you can't end the conversation. It just starts a whole new conversation again. You try and say bye five times before you actually get out. Well, I don't know. She has some kind of experience with this shit before. It's magic.
Yeah.
Basically, is what they chalk it up to.
And then Amos is like, hey, we could get famous with this cookie.
Famous Amos. Yeah, he's wanting to, like, show it off, I guess.
And then Sarah's just nervous about, you know, an anthropomorphic cookie running around. So they decide they're going to look for it. Yeah, exactly. The phones aren't working, so Lorna uses her cell phone and calls her dad. And then her phone dies because she doesn't charge it. I feel it. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. That was me the other day, for sure. So, he's on his way.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Betty has woken up. She sees the rat in the kitchen and she's like, I gotta go find my gun, but first let me find my secret stash of alcohol that's hidden under a pot.
This reminds me of Black Christmas with the house mother that has all the drinks hidden around. Ginger Dead Man.
She sees him and she goes up to him and she's got this look of just euphoria.
She's
on
amused.
Her face.
And this guy is like threatening her the entire time.
And she goes to poke his belly.
It's like the Pillsbury
exactly
thing. Like, yeah, exactly what you're talking about. I don't understand this. Why are you not freaked out about a talking gingerbread man?
I feel like she hasn't sobered up any.
Even if I were drunk and I saw a gingerbread man talking to me, I would be concerned and question it. I wouldn't be like joyed.
I might poke its belly.
That's true. You might poke its belly.
I know how I am as a drunk person.
You know, I know that thing about it. Poking bellies is not exactly the most out there response.
Especially for a drunk person.
Yeah. Okay. Because I poke bellies when I'm drunk too sometimes.
Exactly.
You're right. All right. I see it now. I believe this. So she goes in for the poke and he takes the knife and cuts off her finger.
Except later we find out that it's her ring finger,
which
makes no sense because it's not like she went up to...
Okay, I can do it. It's weird to, like, you're not going to be poking anything with that, though. I don't like this.
Yeah, yeah, also, you're holding up your right hand because that's the hand she was using.
Uh-huh.
Ring finger's on the left, and that's the one that she has wrapped up later, I think.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. I'm trying.
She has her. I can't.
Wait, no. She's doing it with her left hand, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Either way.
I think it's that way. Okay.
Either way,
her finger's cut off. She falls back into the laundry basket.
Yeah, the laundry basket.
Yeah, and
I wanted to make a joke about, you know, how you keep your laundry basket in your kitchen.
Yeah,
but
right.
Your laundry basket is currently sitting in our kitchen.
Okay. Yeah. But it's not dirty stuff. Everything in there is clean. Okay, you know what? That doesn't make it any better. My laundry is still sitting in the kitchen right now. I can't talk bad about this movie. I've done all this shit. No matter how absurd this stuff is.
This is the most grounded movie we have ever covered on this show.
It might actually be. Oh my God. Okay, so she falls back into that, and he's going in for the kill, but he hears...
Julie.
Yeah, she's coming back.
And she was like, I'm supposed to be keeping an eye on you, and I figured you'd come back in the back way. It's been a long time, Julie. She's been in here raising a ruckus for a while.
Yeah.
And she gets hit. She gets the old frying pan to the head. Yeah.
That old trick.
Lorna and Sarah are talking as Amos goes to his car to see to get a gun. And she was like, oh, well, I don't really like Amos, but I'm not going to let him flirt with you. Like, this is their whole conversation. It's just like, I don't know. You guys are being attacked by a cookie. I feel like
you can set these things aside.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, who's going to be boning who later.
I don't think they want to admit that they're actually facing a cookie right now. They're just looking for distractions. Like, anything to not acknowledge what's happening. Because, like, once you admit that you're being chased by a cookie, there's no going back from that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What?
Stick with me for a second.
Uh-huh.
This is a lot like the Limp Bizkit song.
Which?
Did it all for the nookie. For the nookie, because that's what they're talking about.
Did it all for the nookie? Oh, because of
and
the...
And so you can take that cookie. That's...
Mm. Are these actual lyrics right here?
Unfortunately, yes.
That's an actual Limp Bizkit song?
Yeah.
Did it all for the nookie, for the cookie?
Did it all for the nookie. Come on, the nookie. Come on, so you could take that cookie and stick it up your ass. Stick it up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's fucking stupid. Okay.
I can't believe you never heard that.
I might have. I don't know. I did go through a Limp Bizkit
everybody,
phase growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, everybody had a new metal phase in our generation.
That's true. Yeah, it's like unavoidable.
I think those are the lyrics. Now I feel the need to like confirm.
Okay.
That way I'm not making an asshole of myself. All right. Nookie.
Okay, well, in the meantime, I'll go ahead and just say the gingerbread man cuts the power to the building. So they all decide to go to the generator to get the place lit back up. While this is happening, the owner of the competing store that will be there 1 year later pulls up. I guess his name is Jimmy Dean. And, oh, what?
Oh, my God.
What?
I really do think that this song might be inspired by the Gingerbread Man.
Are you fucking kidding me? What does it say?
I came into this world as a reject. Look into these eyes and you'll see the size of the flame. Get it? Because
he's
electrocuted.
Baked.
Yeah, and then baked in the oven.
Okay.
Dwelling on the past. He's trying to get revenge. It's burning on
what
my brain.
Is this really revenge, by the way, that he like that she didn't die? He's like, God damn it, I'll get you for this, for not dying.
Yeah.
It's not wronging him in any way. Okay, you got any more lyrics?
I mean, there's so many more lyrics.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah.
You know what? You might be right. I wouldn't, like, Fred Durst has done horror movies before.
I did it all for the nookie. Come on, the nookie. Come on, so you can take that cookie and stick it up your So.
Your butt.
I mean.
Basically.
I always thought it was saying ass, but.
Yeah. Well, you might be right. Like I said, he's done horror movies. He's got a John Travolta horror movie out there too.
When did this song come out?
Okay, are we?
You keep talking, and I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
Okay, well, we're talking about the part where your favorite absurd moment happens, where the guy gets out of the car, and the gingerbread man gets in the car and fashions some kind of little thing to where he can reach the pedals. And he, like, drives into him, into the building, and kills him. All right, I need some help, Jesse. I need somebody to work with here.
Okay, hold on. I need to know when this year came out.
Like, all right, well, this is live and unedited.
Release
we can't just, like,
year.
Have blank
stuff
here.
I know, I'm trying to talk. Okay, release date. Here we go. Here it is, 1999. Oh,
great.
Maybe the movie was inspired by Nokia.
Maybe. Okay. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Okay, so what happened?
You weren't even listening. Dude, why did you even tell me to do anything?
You said it was my favorite part where he's driving the car and he hits Lorna's dad.
Yes, that's what happens. Yes,
yeah.
He's dead now.
Amos and Sarah are talking. She mentions how she punched him as a child.
Because he tried to kiss her.
Yeah. Which, you know what? If you don't want to be kissed, that's an appropriate reaction.
His reaction to that is, maybe I get turned on when women hit me. That's what he says to her.
Sir? Sir? You guys were six.
Yeah, right. What the fuck? Yeah, that's a weird thing to say.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, there's one way to, like, misinterpret signs, go in for a kiss, and then be rejected. I'm not saying that you should always automatically go for the punching, but if this is his way of flirting, is saying, I like being hit.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like he's trying to be kinky. Mm. Either way, he sees a blood trail, and he follows it.
Yeah. Lorna, meanwhile, has gone outside, found her dead dad, stolen his jewelry.
Uh-huh.
Come back inside, get her
jewelry. Yeah.
She did!
I know, it was like his ring, right? Basically. Yeah. I couldn't tell if she wanted that as like something to remember him by, or if she was going to pawn it later.
She was definitely going to use it for money.
Oh, probably.
So she comes back in, she's yelling at them for not having fixed the generator. It didn't have any gas. They see this trail of blood.
They go to the freezer.
Follow it, yeah. And Lorna's like, you guys are crazy. I'm not going to stay here while you do this. And
this freezer is like, this I believe, because walk-in freezers are a thing.
Yes, that's a thing.
Yeah.
They find Julie's body. She's covered in whipped cream.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand what the gingerbread man was trying to do here.
Make her extra cold?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, there's other ways to do that.
Yeah. You know,
like water, maybe. Like, that works really well in the freezer.
Yeah, so they pull her out, and they're trying to, like, she's still alive, but they figure she's been hit on the head, and this is where Sarah's like, yeah, I've been going to night classes. I'm thinking about becoming a nurse.
And then she starts, like, saying, yeah, because she knows how to, like, read her health here. Like, she, yeah, because she's an expert now. She's been taking classes. Or yeah, she has an interest.
Yeah, she took biology 101.
Yeah, she knows it. She knows how people operate.
And then Amos says, you are pretty and smart and could be the prettiest, smartest surgeon if you wanted to be. And that makes her horny. Like, so they
hell
kiss.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lorna, freaking out about her dad, comes back in the front of the bakery, gets her face cut.
Face ain't pretty no more. That's not true.
Yeah, she's still very pretty.
Yeah.
And it's not very good fake blood.
No, it is
Sorry,
not.
Sorry, JCB.
Yeah, it's like bright, bright
it's
red.
It's bright red and it's very thin.
Yeah, it is very thin. Yeah, it's like very, one coat.
Very watery.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. So I'm surprised she survived that, though, because she, like, runs downstairs and then interrupts Amos and
Sarah's
little smooching session.
Yeah, and she's like, I've been cut. Now I'm not the prettiest face of Waco. I'm mad. I'm going to walk away into this very obvious trap. Like, there's a rope. Yeah. Not like fishing line. Like, it's a full-on rope. She walks into it, gets stabbed in the head. I don't know how the ginger dead man has had time for all of these hijinks.
I know, right?
Like, he's a little boy. He's got tiny legs.
How can he lift all this shit?
How is he getting around that fast?
He's not this smart. There's no way.
Like, I don't know. Maybe he watched a lot of Home Alone.
No, maybe he did.
Do the same thing. You know, you see that. You watch Macaulay Culkin. You're like, he's a little boy. He's got tiny legs. Surely he's not that smart. He doesn't have an advanced understanding of engineering.
You know what? You're right. He probably watched Home Alone because, like, this is how a kid that is not big enough to do this stuff to take on these people himself, because he's a tiny little gingerbread man. Like, he does not have the strength. He does not have the size on his side. He has to get creative. Another tie to it being a Christmas movie.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah. So now Millard is taunting Amos and Sarah.
In a mouse. This is a weird scene.
Sarah finds her mom's wedding ring. And then Millard says she's a real smart cookie, and that prompts her to go check the oven.
I don't get this chain of events, but yeah, she goes into the oven room, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, and the mom is just kind of laying in there, so they're like, let's get her out. And then they get her out, and then the gingerbread man takes that opportunity to lock Sarah in the oven and turn up the heat, and this seems to have little to no effect on her.
Yeah.
She seems totally fine to be in an oven.
She's sweaty and she cries a little bit and then she gets out.
Yeah, she's able to... Amos is knocked down and he takes his gun and he shoots the door, not like in any particular spot that would be helpful, but apparently it opens the door. So Sarah can now get out of the oven. And fuck, what happens here? Is this where Brick comes in?
Yeah.
This is where Brick jumps in.
This is where Brick comes in, and Julie wakes up, and Betty wakes up. Everything just happens all at once.
Yeah.
So Brick jumps in. He's a butcher baker. Prepare to meet your maker, whatever the fuck it is he says. And he wrestles the cookie to the ground. And apparently the only way he can think of to permanently stop the cookie is to eat its head.
You think he would try this move in the wrestling ring against like an actual opponent?
Maybe.
Like maybe that's what he would do. Like he's like, I eat people. I am the baker. I will bake you.
He's demoniac.
Demoniac.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. It's weird and it's disturbing. And I think this is not acting from anybody on the set when they look super horrified because they've been told what the scene is actually going to be. And they're like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think, because we see that he's got blood, do you think he's got like squishy eyeballs? Do you think his teeth are bone-like?
Yeah,
does
probably.
Does he have any properties of a skull?
Yes, because he's got that like formation in the center of his head there.
I feel like it could also be kind of like an exoskeleton situation.
That's also true. This is a new species. We have not had a chance to dissect it and explore it. And
Well, now we're not going to get a chance because he ate it. And then now that's he's overcome with the spirit of Millard.
Yeah, this somehow has him possessed by him.
Yeah, so then he attacks Sarah and then
looking all Buffy vampire like.
Yeah.
And then he tries to like lick her with his blue tongue.
Yeah, so he's got fruit punch mouth, but he's got like the blue Kool-Aid fruit punch mouth, not just fruit punch mouth.
Amos comes in and throws him off of her. And then while this is happening, they all team up on Brick and push him into the oven and then lock him in there.
And then Betty goes, I have third degree burns and 9 fingers. Can I please go to the hospital?
Yeah, but she looks okay, right?
Yeah, she's like, got some scabs.
They did not make any attempt to like do any type of burnt makeup at all.
I don't know. I can't. I cannot explain this to you.
This is like C minus effort here.
This is the part where they don't want you to ask any questions.
Yeah, they really don't. Yeah. You don't do anything here.
And then we cut to sometime later. They're having a bake sale outside of the bakery.
Why?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
You have a perfect venue 5 feet behind you.
Yeah, right.
You can still do a bake sale inside of your building.
Well, maybe it's only been like a day and like there's a lot of shit that's still needing cleaned up inside there.
I don't know.
A couple people been cooking in there. It's not going to smell too good.
That's true. I don't know.
Anyways, some kids ask for gingerbread men and they find a box of them and all of a sudden they develop eyes. Yeah. And that's it. It's really, really bad.
Do I smell sequel?
Yeah, it's very much Thanksgiving ending energy here. But yeah, that's how it ends.
Yeah, and they're also the bake sale, by the way, is not for the bakery to help repair the damages or, you know, the bills for Betty or funeral costs for Brick. It is for the hospital.
Yeah, right.
And the nurses, there's two nurses that are just there. And they're like, look at Betty. She looks so good. Like, she looks like you took the two fake scabs off of her face. And boom, same.
Yeah. They did not put any thought into this. They're like, okay, gingerbread man. And
they're like, we are going to tell, not show about Betty's growth here.
Yeah. It's so strange. Okay. All right. How do you feel about it after talking about it?
Honestly, about the same.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't think we would be able to. I thought it was really going to meander there in the middle, aside from my Limp Bizkit divergence. Uh-huh. I thought that we were going to kind of really lose anything to talk about there in the middle, and we didn't.
Well, we kind of gave cliff notes of this whole thing, right? Like, we touched on all the highlights. There are a lot of, like, weird, like, the whole scene with the mouse is kind of weird. It doesn't add anything. He's just antagonizing a mouse.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not necessary. Yeah. But they needed some time to fill this movie. Like, they were struggling to get enough minutes to, like, make this a feature.
I do wish that there were, like, more deaths.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
It's Jimmy and Brick. And then kind of Millard.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, yeah. His head gets eaten off.
Yeah, but so. Then he transfers into Brick. And then yeah, Brick that's true. Died, like, and then we've got the cookies at the end. I don't know. But the implication is that Millard's mom dropped those cookies off. So that's why I think we're going to get more of her in the sequels.
That's right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well.
So I'm keeping it at 5.
Okay. I'll make mine like a 4.5.
Aww.
Because I do feel like I get trying, and I don't know if you're trying to be bad here with this movie, but like there's just like no care put into the details. It feels very rushed. It just I don't know, like they put up like a half-hearted effort for this, and I like the premise. I feel like that and Gary Busey and the character, all of that alone carries it enough to be still entertaining, but if I'm going to like actually rate it, yeah, 4.5 feels right.
Okay.
All right.
Travis.
I think I know this.
Who did you relate to?
Oh, I thought we were going to do Scout.
No,
oh.
I want to save that one.
Oh, okay. I related to Brick because I have poor knife etiquette with cutting things in the kitchen. I've cut myself before. And, I've done it in the past, and I will do it in the future also.
Okay.
What about you?
I related to... Who did I relate to? I guess I probably related to Betty because of the whole impulse to poke the belly.
Oh, yeah.
That's
an easy one.
Yeah.
That was like a surprisingly relatable moment right there.
Yeah.
That was,
it was like one of the more human moments of the whole movie.
Yeah. That's the one that really made me feel like it was a grounded movie. Yeah. Okay. All right. Scout's.
Yeah. Part. What was Scout's favorite part of this movie, Scout's Travis? Scout's
favorite part was when Betty was in the oven because she likes to be on the oven and get burnt.
No. Dummy.
What is
Scout's
it?
Favorite part was obviously when they were kneading the dough.
Ah, yes. I feel like both of those. Yeah. I feel like the oven, because like anytime we have the oven on, Scout loves to get on top of it because it's just warm. Scout loves warm stuff.
Yeah. Remember that time that I walked over to our washer and dryer and started a load of laundry in the washing machine?
Yeah.
And she thought I was starting the dryer. And when I told her the dryer wasn't on, she meowed at me. And I was
she got mad.
I was like, I give it 30 minutes.
No. She just likes her warmth.
She does.
Okay, well, this movie has plenty of sequels. What do you want? Do you want the mother in the sequels?
I feel like we need that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like I said, there's very much an aspect to Millard that is... his mom is important to his character arc.
I guess it would be okay to get a little bit of background. You don't really need background for like killers usually.
Oh no, I don't need the background. I just like she's still actively a part of his murder streak.
Okay, true.
So.
Yeah, what's her role?
Yeah.
Yeah, other than making demonic cookies.
Yeah, and I would like to see, like. I know the actress that plays Sarah is in several of the sequels. I didn't see if it was the same character or not. With movies like that, it's not necessarily a given that she'll be playing the same character.
Yeah.
But if she is playing the same character, I'd like to see her, you know, maybe in a... You know, we're going to do a Sydney Prescott, and she's going to go to school and feel like she's getting things a little bit...
Dude, if the ginger dead man followed her to college, I would love that. That would be amazing.
Like, and it would be so easy to do, because think about all the times in the dorm, they'll be like, all right, we got snacks in the common area for everybody. And, like, one of them, and who's like, somebody's like, who brought this giant cookie? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. That's what I want.
Yeah.
If they haven't made one of those yet, there's your idea, Charles, right there. Hire us. Yeah. Okay. So now's the time, I guess, to be or not to be. Jesse, how do you feel about it?
I would rewatch this.
Yeah?
Yes. I would rewatch it. I definitely want to watch at least some of the sequels, if not all of them eventually. But I feel like this is one that, like, it would be dumb, harmless fun to have on in the background.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I think I would watch this again. Another question, would you show this to anybody? Would you actually put this on for, like, people that are like, I want to watch something, like, stupid tonight?
It probably wouldn't be my first suggestion.
Okay.
But I wouldn't not show it to people.
Like, if we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Like if we have something. Friends over and they're just, like, you know, not big into scary movies, but they're big into stupid things. Like, this you'd is a this. Good one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it would be okay. I feel like there are better options.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, yeah. Like, if somebody saw this on our shelf, if we ever had this, like,
I wouldn't be embarrassed.
Yeah, and, like, I would, you know, if somebody's like, oh, what's this? Like, can we watch it? I'd be like, yeah, sure, fuck yeah. it. Like, yeah. You're about to experience Gary Busey be a gingerbread cookie.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, we haven't watched the sequels yet, so potentially watching the sequels will change my answer. I'd be like, well, yeah, I would maybe show them this one, but I'd rather show them part whatever.
Yeah, the one where they go to college.
Yeah.
Yeah, or go to space. Maybe they've done that too.
They might have.
They probably have.
He fight. Oh, we know that he fights an evil Bong at one point.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
They really are.
Okay. All right. I think that's it for this one then.
Yeah. So on the main feed on Thursday, we will have Halloween Kills.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for that. We finally have our December schedule posted. We didn't have it put together when we recorded The Shining because it was still November.
Yeah.
But go check out our social media. We got a Facebook page, Instagram, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. Right now we have a Twitter, Least Fave Pod. I know. I guess we're going to see where everything goes with social media. I know there's been some people moving stuff around. So yeah. I guess we'll see. Where a lot of the people that we interact with and have built a community with, where that's going to end up at.
A lot of people have hopped over to Instagram. We're there too.
Yeah. We're also on TikTok. We've got a website, which is leastfavoritescarymovie.com, and you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want to support us, that's always appreciated. You can do it for free just by sharing, subscribing to us, rating us, mm-hmm. letting people know about us. Yeah. We got our Spotify Wrapped, and we're like one of the most shared in our categories. So thank yes. you guys for
thank
that.
Thank you guys. It's very nice.
Really appreciate that, especially over on Instagram. Y'all love to share us on Instagram. So thank you. And then
Patreon.
We've got three different tiers depending on if you're financially able to support us and would like to do so. There's different perks at each level. So if you want to join the ranks of Eric and Vivi of Shaken Not Scared, Joe, or Amber, you can hit us up over there and get early access to episodes. We don't know how early the access will be. I can tell you this month is we're going to be cutting it close every single week.
Yeah, I was on a good roll there. I've had like most episodes out on Tuesday, like pretty much all of November.
Yeah, I'm hoping that because we're going to record Halloween Kills tomorrow, I'm hoping that I'll be able to edit it all the next night and get it out then.
Oh yeah, probably. You should be able to.
That's my goal. You know, we do that and, you know, you get other perks with different tiers, including, I don't know if you guys have checked our schedule or not, we did briefly mention that we're going to be covering Jack Frost soon, and that was a patron voted movie.
Yeah, we had the our first patron's pick. It's going to be Jack Frost.
Yeah, so that that's for our budget level.
Yes.
Yeah. And where you also get a bonus episode each month,
which we talked about, Stay Alive, the unrated version.
Yes.
The mythical copy that we finally found out in the wild.
Our holy grail.
Yes. It was fun. Yeah. I really liked how that episode turned out.
Yeah, that ended up being fun. Yeah. I don't think we're doing episode taglines for our TV or not to be episodes, are we, by the way?
No.
Okay. So. Yeah, because we're not doing art for it, so we're not going to put a tagline on the cover.
No.
Okay. Just making sure. I just wanted to check.
Yep, we're good.
Okay. All right, then. We'll see you guys on Thursday.
All right. See y'all then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.